Could turn to 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians, and I promise you, I will not be long. Do my best to get into the Word of God. We cannot bypass the importance of getting into God's Word. This is the reason why we're here. Thank you for the songs that gets us hearts ready to receive the preaching of God's Word, but it always, this is the foundation which we stand upon, is God's Word. We need to open it up before we go and do anything else. Get into it and see what the Lord has for us this morning. If you are in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would look there in verse number 20, if you could stand for the reverence of God's word, if you could stand up, and we're going to read this verse, and we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. 1 Corinthians 6, verse number 20, says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, I'm just so thankful for how good you are. Lord, I thank you for these men that stood up here and sang the testimonies that they've given. Lord, how it lines up with what you have for us in your word this morning. But Lord, now, for the next few moments, I do pray, Holy Spirit, that our hearts and minds be stayed upon you and what you've given would be a help to this church in order to make a difference in our life, and we can go out and be a difference in this world, this lost and dying world. But Lord, we just pray that you'll just bless the remainder of our time here, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, be seated. Thank you so much for standing. You know, the men mentioned, you know, just the state of our country. We've been through the depressions in the 30s. 20s and the 30s, and then we had that slump and going into the 2008s and 2009, a lot of financial crisis was at end. But now our country is in another financial crisis. We are in debt, big debt, and I hate to see the way that our country is going. You know, and I'm not trying to stand up here and paint a bad picture, but we need to know what's going on in our current events, the state of our country. And we, in this room, and around the country, in other churches, we are the only ones that's going to make a difference. We cannot rely on the people that we elect. A lot of times that stuff turns, but it relies on us as God's people standing up and doing what's right. Finn, do you have that up there on the wall? I have something I want to show you guys. Something I came across yesterday when I was studying and wanted to look at. This right here is the U.S. debt clock. I don't know if you can look, but the top left corner there, our country is $30 trillion in debt. It's a number thrown out there. $30 trillion. If you look down there on the little bitty narrow box down below, you can kind of see that the largest budget income, the far right, the interest to that debt is over $445 billion. Not only are we $30 trillion in debt, we're paying over $445 billion in interest on that debt. It's crazy. Finn, let's go to that other one I want to show you. The world debt clock. This is showing all the other different countries around the world. You see the U.S. up there at the top, $30 trillion. We are more in debt than the next three countries combined. And you look over in the little green box there, that's the GDP, the gross domestic product. That's how our country, outside of tax revenue, makes money. If you go and you look down there at the bottom, Canada, I don't know if you can you guys see that pretty good? At the very bottom, Canada, or he moved it up, but Canada there, they're making money. If you keep on moving up to Brazil, they're making money. Each one of these countries are making money, but if you go up there and you look at the USA, we are going in the negative. The clock, the money's going backwards. We're not making money. We're losing money. That's a dire thing to be looking at. Think of it. Our country is $30 trillion in debt. Let me just kind of help get our minds wrapped around this for a second. Who in here, if I said, I have $1 trillion, I want to give it to you today, I'm going to give it to you. Who would want $1 trillion? Come on, don't be spiritual. Yeah? You want $1 trillion? Well, I had to tell you first. You could not spend the first dollar, and I'm going to give you $1 trillion in $1 bills. You cannot spend the first one until you put your initials on each one. Just on average, you can take about 3 seconds to put your initials on each bill. Just $1 million, it will take you 35 days. 35 days take you just putting your initials on each $1 bill of $1 million. For $1 billion, it would take you 95 years. You would not be able to spend it. I was at the barber shop yesterday, and there was a lady in there, and she was walking out, and she had her grandson in there, and the barber talked about how she was 90 years old, still going around, 90 years old. My great-grandmother lived to be 101 years old. But 95 years you had to go before you can spend the first dollar. Get this. You know, Miss Ashley knows. She's good with numbers. $1 trillion, it would take you 95,000 years before you can spend the first one. And our nation is $30 trillion in debt. Looking at the way that our country is going right now, we will never pay back what we owe. We will always be in debt the way we're going. It's a sad thing that our country's in. But I don't want to try to stand up here and just paint a bad picture about our nation. Finn, you can take that off. Each and every one is born into this world of debt. Each and every one of us. They said the oldest computer was owned by Adam and Eve. It was an Apple. All the people that had the iPhones, yeah, I'm all about that. But it had very limited memory. 1 byte and everything crashed. When we go back and we look at the very beginning in the Bible, after God created all creation, he said it was good. Sometime after that, Satan got in the mix. It was called the fall, where Adam and Eve sinned. From that day on, there was a debt that was paid that needed to be paid. And what took place there at that sin, there was already a sacrifice that was made. It was not really laid out. We don't see that really in Genesis how it was laid out, but we see that God took a ram and clothed Adam and Eve. There was a sacrifice that was made to cover up their sin in there. So time and time again, the nation of Israel, what he had to do for that nation, the high priest each year had to go and make a sin sacrifice for the whole nation of Israel. Something had to die because of that sin for that nation. And there is a great debt that we owe to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And these men sang about that here today. The testimony they sang about Jesus Christ. Heaven sent its best for us. Did. Came to the world innocent as a little babe. We don't see too much after that. Herod did his best to try to kill all the young boys that was born. We don't see too much of, we don't read too much about it until he was 12 years old and his parents are going to the temple to make that sacrifice. And they leave Jesus. Parents left him. Different culture back then. A lot of people traveled together, kind of understand that. But Mary and Joseph came back and I was looking for him. Jesus said, how are you seeking me? At a very young age, at 12 years old, the priests, the people in the temple were marveled at Jesus. Heaven sent their best for us. We don't see too much more until he was 30 years old when he began his first ministry here on this earth for us. He came perfect, sinless. And what do we do as people? We rejected him. You go and you're reading Isaiah. I want to turn over there real quick. Isaiah 53. And it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. We rejected him. Mankind rejected the Lord and Savior as he came to this earth. Israel thought that he was going to come and take them out of captivity of Rome. He was going to be the king that was going to set up and get them out of that. But Jesus had a different plan. Not to come to get Israel out of bondage under Rome. No, he came for the whole world. Take us out of the sin bondage that we were in. And he shed his innocent blood for each and every one of us. It goes on in verse number 5 and says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You know, that Jesus Christ came and paid our sin debt. No, everybody looks good. Now, honestly, standing up here and seeing everybody dressed today, thank you so much for participating in this. It's awesome to see that. Everybody all dressed up. But Jesus Christ did not come for our best. He came for our worst. You go and you can read in the headlines of the wickedness that's going on in our world, the things that we should be ashamed of, the liberties that people take on other people. It's wrong. It's the decrepity of our nation, of people. That's what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And he did that for each and every one of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid their iniquity, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything that we've done was put on Jesus Christ. He's done that for us. The debt was paid when he died on the cross for each and every one of us. If you're in this room today and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that debt has been paid. Just like these men were saying, there is a gift. It's a free gift that Jesus Christ wants to give to each and every one of us. And all we have to do is accept that gift. By faith are we saved. Take that gift. A lot of people reject it. But he's given that free gift to us. And each and every one of us in heaven, just think with me just for a minute. While I was talking with my family about this last night, just think with me for a minute. All that have a job, you had to deal with HR. Human resources. And what does human resources have? They have everything on you with that company. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They have all of that. Don't like it. Some of the bad stuff is in there. But think about this. In heaven, there's a filing cabinet up there and has your name on it. If you open it up, all the things that you've done wrong, all the sin that you ever done, from the time you were born to the time you died, everything that's on there, that'd be very bad to look at. But when Jesus Christ came and died for you, everything that's on that file has been laid on his account. Every bit of it. And we should be eternally grateful for what he's done for us. And that's the whole gist that I want to get our focus upon, that we, as believers in Jesus Christ, to be very thankful for what Christ has done for us. And that's what brings us to this verse here in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. For we are bought with a price. And it does not end there. He says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are Christ. We have been bought. There's a debt that's been paid for us. And we need to have that mindset in our lives that Jesus Christ did all of this for me. He did all that for me. A lot of times we live unto ourselves. We do what we want to do. But no, Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. I was talking with Finn and Gabe last night about that. You know, think when you're young and you're drawing or you're writing something, you're doing a book report and you mess up on it. What do you do with that paper? We don't have much paper these days. We got iPads and different things. We can just erase it. But what do? You ball it up and throw it away. You know, God could have done that with us. He gave us the option. He does not force us to do anything. And man chose to sin and go against God. And what did he do? He could have taken that and just said, no, I'm done with this. I'm going to start all over. I gave them a chance. They messed up. He could have balled everything up and just cast us away. But no, what did he do? Before the foundation of the world, he already knew what man was going to do. And he paved a way that we can be reconciled back to God. And that was through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So thankful for that. But we as believers, a lot of times we come to church and we're faithful. Please understand, I'm not trying to be ugly and try to be harsh about any of this. But Jesus Christ paid so much for us. And we ought to give our lives to him. We got that free ticket in our back pocket. Yes, thank you, Lord. You saved me. The penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? It was death. Jesus Christ paid the penalty of that. But it does not end there. That is the very beginning. Jesus Christ wants us to yield ourselves over to Him that He can use us to be a difference in the people that we're around. Yielding. That means to give up possession. A lot of times we want to hold on to our thing. Nah, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. Nah, I just don't want to do that. I think I want to stay home today from church. Please understand, I'm not trying to be ugly about this, but we need to be faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we do that by being faithful to His church that He gave His life for. We need to be faithful in there. Not only that, yield means to give up the possession, but also we need to surrender our lives to the Lord. That means to give up completely. There is nothing that we're holding back from God. We're opening up every door that He can have in our lives. Oswald Chambers made a very big impression on my life over the past 2 years. Utmost for His highest. A lot of people read that as a great devotional that is around. But I got into it. My wife read the life about him, but I also read what he did and how the Lord used him. And one of the things that had come to his end of his life, a lot of things that he preached and he taught was abandonment, complete abandonment to God. Each and every one of us should have that life that is completely abandoned to Him. That means giving up and giving the control to someone else. Nothing that we're holding on to. That's what Christ wants in each and every one of us. To be completely abandoned to Him. To give our life to Him. We have been bought with a price, and we should glorify God in our body, which is Christ. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the church of Galatia, he said, hey, Christ did so much for me, and I'm going to let His life live through me so I can be a help and encouragement to other people and always be pointing to Christ. How do we do that? A lot of times what we want to do, we want to hold on because we think God's going to want us to do something big. For 2 years, I ran from the Lord. He called me to preach. I was afraid of it. I ran. I was scared. I believe the Lord has called a lot of people in this room today, and we're scared because we're thinking it's something big that He wants us to do. It's not always the case. God does not want everybody in here to be a pastor of a church or a missionary to a foreign field. No. But He has called you to be faithful to Him, to yield your life over to Him, give all possessions to Him, to be abandoned unto Him. We ought to do that. And how it happens is in our everyday common life. It's easy to come to church, and we worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but when we step out those back doors and we go into the workplace, we go and be with our family, out there is where the rubber meets the road, and that's where I need the Lord more than most. We need to yield ourselves to Him. It's not the big things, it's the little things, the daily things He calls us to do. Do we do it with murmurings? Oh, I don't want to do that. Tell you, church, I asked pastor 2 times, I believe, pastor, please preach. Pastor, this is old-fashioned Sunday. You can come back on Sunday and preach. I don't want to preach. Pastor, the church needs you to be here. I almost got on my knees to beg him. Pastor, won't you do that? And you know what? I was going to be the one that was going to be back in the back cooking the pig with Adam. You know what I did? I murmured about preaching. It's the Lord that called me to preach. He got a donkey to speak for Balaam. He can use me. But the Lord has called me to that. And a lot of times I murmur and I complain. And I murmured and I complained about that. I'm like, Lord, it's so much easier to be back there cooking the pig. I don't want to stand in front of people. And I murmured and complained about it. The Lord has called each and every one of us to do things. And a lot of times what we do, we murmur and we complain. It's like, I don't want to do that. It's not me. I don't want to deal with this. What about being content where we're at? We complain where we're at. Not being content. We need to be content if we are abounding or we're abased. Need to be. I want to abound in the left lane on the interstate. I want to abound. Anybody that's in that left lane on the interstate, when there's an eight-lane highway and you're going 70 miles an hour, you are going too slow. You need to move to the right. I want to buy one of those stickers to put on the back of my car, the big white one that says slower traffic, keep right. And I want to do my best to get in front of people and do my turn signal and get in front of them. Sorry, flesh is rearing up. Even in that time, I need to yield myself to the Lord. Say, Lord, you have a reason for me to be here behind this slow person. You put this person in this path for some reason. Lord, I think you're trying to work in me. God has put different people in your life that they rub you wrong. You're like, I just don't want to be around that guy. I don't want to be around that lady. There's something about them that sets me off. I believe God has put those people in your path to knock the rough edges off of you. It's something that he wants to work in your life. And what do? Nah, I don't want to deal with that person. I'm not going to shake their hand this time at church. I'm going to stay on this side of the church. I don't care about the people on this side of the church. Because they just rub me a little bit wrong. Christ paid for your sin. There's a debt that there is nothing that we can do to pay back. And what we want to do, we want to live unto ourselves. Think of self. His grace is able to help us in everything in our life. His grace is enough. How about this? Some are willing to give up their money. I'll go above and beyond. I'll give my money. I'll give my time. I'll work hard at vacation Bible school. I'll go out door to door on soul winning. But I am not going to forgive that person over there in that aisle. Why? They didn't shake my hand last week. I didn't like what they posted on Facebook. Here in the church, we get aggravated with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the thing that I want to have draw our minds more than anything in this message today, consider Christ, what he has done for us. And we want to let these little petty things in our life to drive us farther and farther apart. There is two great commandments that God has given to us. Two. Now, we got a lot of Ten Commandments, but the very first one, when the disciples came to him and said, Lord, what is it? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment. And if we're very grateful and we have that attitude, that mindset that we are indebted to God for what he's done for us, Lord, I'm going to love you. Lord, even when I don't know how to love you, Lord, I'm going to yield myself to you that you can use me that I can love you back the way you deserve to be loved. And his grace can help you do that. I'm not trying to be confusing this, but my love is as filthy rags. There's no way I can love the Lord the way he needs to be loved. But if as I yield myself to him and I say, Lord, help me to love you the way you desire me to love you, his grace is enough to help me. So that's the first and great commandment, to love him. And he said the second one's like unto it. You know what that is? To love your neighbor as yourself. So people, what we ought to do, we ought to love the Lord. We got to be an encouragement to other people that's around us, to help, to encourage them, to build them up. Christ has done so much for us. He paid that debt. And all I just pray that the Lord will help us to do is that our hearts and minds will be focused upon him and Lord, and to say, Lord, thank you. Lord, there's nothing I'm going to hold back from you anymore. If you call me to do something, I'm going to be obedient to do it. And that's all he wants you to do. Just be obedient to him. And when it's hard, say, Lord, help me to trust you to obey. Lord, give me your grace to help me to obey what you called me to do. I believe the Lord has called each and every one that's in this room to do something for him. If he has not, I think you need to pray and ask him, say, Lord, what it is? What do you have me to do? Because each one of us can make an impact on the people that's around us that other people cannot make that impact on. The Lord wants you to do that. Christ has paid it all. consider him. For the young people that's in here, I want to joke a little bit about this. Is in Toy Story, in the second one, you remember the little Martians when they were about to fall out and Mr. Potato Head grabbed them? What did those little Martians say to Mr. Potato Head? "We are eternally grateful." It's the funny thing. I have seven kids, so watching these funny movies, these things stick with it in my mind. And we ought to have that mind that we are eternally grateful. Lord, you've done so much for me. God, you sent your very best to die for me. Help me, Heavenly Father, to yield myself to you, that you may use me for your honor and for your glory to make an impact on the world that's out there. These men as gospel plowboys, they yield themselves to the Lord. And the Lord's using them in a mighty way to go around and to sing through song and testimonies. The Lord has called you to something. What is it? Are you holding back on him? Consider him. He's given so much for you, and I believe you need to give yourself back to him. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. And Lord, I'm so grateful for what you've done for us. Lord, I do pray as a church, Lord, our hearts and minds be stayed upon you. Lord, that we have lives that are yielded to you. Lord, thank you for your word, the foundation that we can stand upon. Lord, and I just pray, Lord, as we go our separate ways and we go into this world, Lord, that we'll be obedient to you. Lord, that we have lives that are wholly yielded to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.